episode 1979, My Strength is My Story with Sherry Rigby. Consider the lilies.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo. Staring at a
stop sign, watching. Happy every day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series. And have you ever dreamt about becoming the leading lady? Well, we have a leading lady in our presence today, Sherry Rigby, and you are going to be blessed by her, I promise you. For those of you who are brand new to Create You Now, friends and family of Sherry's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com, where you can learn more and sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live love and impact. Well, this episode is brought to you by the AIM Academy. Sherry and I had this warm-hearted, fragrant conversation, and we dug in deep. We talked about her dreams as being on the big stage, not just any big stage. We're talking about Hollywood big stage. And I think sometimes we go through our lives living anxious and overwhelmed, and we forget that God has a greater plan. Well, Sherry has been living her life, and it hasn't come easy for her. But I'm telling you, her story is going to rock your world. Why? Because a lot of it didn't come true until much later in life. Talk about 40 years and the walls of Jericho, her connection with me. Oh my goodness, you're going to have to stay tuned. So without further ado, let's welcome in Sherry Rigby. Consider the lilies. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have an actress in the house. Oh, I so wish I would have been an actress. Well, I guess you could say I kind of am, but it's not about me today. It's all about Sherry Rigby. She is a wife of 23 years to her husband, Matt, and has been blessed as a boy mom raising two sons. She's an actress, director, producer, writer, author, and inspirational speaker. Sherry is best known as one of the leading actresses in faith and family inspirational entertainment. You will recognize her from the 2019 blockbuster, Overcomer. She also has starred in October Baby, Not Today, Wildflower, and The Last of These, just to name a few. Sherry continues to share her faith through her ministry, The Women in My World, dedicated to activating women of all ages to inspire, influence, and dream. Sherry's latest project is a release of her brand new book, Consider the Lilies. Get rooted in your destiny by discovering God's plan. Well, be prepared for the fragrant blessing from God today. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited about this. It's going to be good.
Oh, it's going to be awesome. Your book is absolutely number one beautiful. It is like, you know how you pick up, I got to turn it in the right way. When you pick up a book, you know, it has this feeling, it's soft, the texture, but it's hard and it's so vibrant. I just want to put it on my coffee table. So that's where I have it. I have it in my office on my little table right next to my reading chair, and it has just added this burst of color. So I got to ask you, what brings you joy?
That's really good. What brings me joy? There's a lot of things that brings me joy. I think, especially with this time, one of the things that brings me joy more than anything else that I've rediscovered is cooking for my family. And I know that sounds a little strange, but it's...
I love it.
it really has brought me a lot of joy. It's made me take a step back and realize that there are some things that I really love to do. And I love to do things with my hands. And I love to really incorporate some history from recipes and just the heart of what went into these, beautiful food things for me and my family over the years from my grandmother and my mother and now sharing that with my family, and that really has brought me a lot of joy during this time.
Oh, how awesome. Well, what has been one of your most favorite recipes you've fixed so far?
Oh my goodness. One of the things that I pulled out, well, two actually have been probably the highlights, but my grandmother always made angel food cake, and she would make homemade frosting for it, and she would always smother it in strawberries, and they were sugared, and I just, like, I come unglued every time I have one of these pieces of cake. And it was just such a beautiful reminder. And then I pulled out my mother's banana bread. And, you know, I'm sure that I'm going to come out of COVID about 20 pounds heavier.
Amen.
It's just, they've been so good. And they've just been such good, sweet reminders of just family and history and just the love that so often we forget about in the craziness of the world, and that's kind of brought back some normalcy to life again. So it's been good.
Oh, and such great reminders, you know. And in your book, I know you talk about the angel food cake. And it's funny because my mom, when I was growing up, made a lot of angel food cake with the strawberries. And that's hard to find. I don't know if it was, I don't know, who knows, but oh, it's so tasty. So tasty. Not good for the hips, though.
No. My grandmother used to always say, like, it's just so light and airy. There's no calories in it. And I always think to myself, that was Grandma, that was the lie from the pit of hell. And someday her and I will have to talk about that.
Someday, yes. Hopefully not too soon, because you got a lot of work left here on Earth for sure.
Yes, I hope so.
Oh, well, what dreams did little Sherry have growing up?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, I'm such a visual person. You know, God, I think, He created us all, I think, so visually. You know, he's the God of creation. And right away, you know, in the book of Genesis, he paints this beautiful picture of creation, right? And I think that we're all kind of hardwired in some way with vision. And so for me, as a little girl, I was always using my imagination. I grew up in a small town of maybe 1,000 people in Cooperstown, North Dakota. And one of the highlights of my life during that very young season was an old movie theater. And I would sit in this movie theater as a little girl and I would watch these movies. And I always remembered, you know, just desiring to be the leading lady on the big screen. And so, you know, that was probably one of the first things that had been, you know, placed in my heart. And, you know, I love how God brought it all the way back around, you know, years later. But that was something I really dreamed about. And I think also, too, just I always loved the idea of thinking that I was going to have a house full of children. And that dream didn't quite come as big as I had anticipated. I did get two beautiful boys, but now because of the ministry that I have and the women in my world, you know, for years, I used to ask God, well, why didn't you give me more children? Or why didn't, you know, because we all go through those whys, right? And we have these moments and, you know, and especially a girl in some way, shape or form, you know, or daughters. And I always love that the Lord is always so quick to remind me. And he's like, I've given you more women than you could have ever imagined. You have more hormones flowing through your house on any given day. So be careful what you ask for.
It just came in a different perspective, right?
Yeah. Her dreams and you know, I and God has just fulfilled them. But yeah, lots of dreams. There's so much I love to do. I love the outdoors. I love traveling, you know, just so much. And I've really been blessed to experience so many wonderful things.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, where did God meet you in your life?
Oh, you know, it was my life is so, my backstory is pretty crazy. And my mom, you know, she introduced me and my brother to God early on when we were little, but it was really more about like stories at Sunday school. You know, my mom was a Sunday school, you know, teacher early on. And so, but I really had no idea who Jesus was, you know, what does that mean when you're, you know, 5, 6 years old. And then when I was 13, my family had moved to Arizona and my family was going through some very difficult changes just from going from this very small rural, you know, town to this huge, you know, city that was known as the Concrete Giant, you know. And so she took her family to church and I sat in a church and a pastor came out and he started teaching on, the message actually was, you know, basically, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? And if you want to go to heaven, you need to raise your hand. And so I did that at 13. And once again, though, you know, the beautiful thing is that the Lord saw me. I still didn't know who he was because, you know, most people would have said, well, you know, that's youth group time or that's all these different things. Well, my life drastically turned into a crazy relationship and just lots of messy stuff. And then I would say probably the next, when God really started, like when I, he was always walking with me, but I was early 20s, and I had been in an abusive marriage, drugs, alcohol, the whole nine yards. And I had been up one night binging with my ex-husband doing drugs, and I literally early morning walked into a bathroom and stood in front of a mirror, and I saw a dead woman standing before me and went straight to my knees and started crying out to, you know, hey, if you really do exist, I need you. And again, I mean, you know, we kind of go through those things, right, in our lives. And again, he really saw me and he met me there. And I do know, as I look back, he started to change things in my life. But really, the change that really, really met Jesus, when I really wanted to discover who Jesus was and how he saw me, really identified me as his daughter, was at the age of 25. And my husband, Matt, took me to Calvary Chapel, and a pastor came out and shared about grace and about this Jesus that wanted to know who I was. And it's just a moment that I'll never forget, because it was that moment that I was reminded that I really was created for a purpose, and I was unique. And the purpose was a savior that was willing to die for me. So that's really when, and from that point on, then it became pruning season, and whoo, next part of the story.
Yeah, that pruning is really rough sometimes. We think that the before was rough. The pruning can be, oh, but it's such a blessing. And, you know, Sherry, thank you so much for sharing your heart. You know, I can just feel the love you have for God, and it just pours from you. Like, you know, just you see those beautiful fountains. That's how I just see your love for him. It's shared in your book. And maybe you felt a little ungrounded growing up and going through what you did.
Yeah.
But look how God has grounded you. And, oh, so beautiful. In Consider the Lilies, get rooted in your destiny by discovering God's plan. I cannot wait for people to dive into your book and get a copy, because it just all comes together and it's just gorgeous. Well, let's go to a little happier note here. I mean, not that those aren't tears of joy, and, you know, because they are, right? God redeems us. But if people were to look at you now, many people looking at your life would see a beautiful woman living a dream lifestyle, being married, being a boy mom, having a successful acting career with multiple leading roles, truly perfection. What would you, and how would you respond to them?
Yeah, well, that's such a great question. I mean, you know, isn't that the beautiful thing about, though, our Savior, is that he does say, I'm going to remove, you know, he removes all the ashes and gives you, he trades the ashes for the garland, right? And I think most people that would meet me now and just sit down and have a good cup of coffee with me, or, you know, share some fantastic Mexican food, would not ever smell any of the cigarette smoke that I so loved in my lifetime many years ago, that it would still be lingering on me. They would see something else. And that is only because of the constant lean into the Savior that we have. And, you know, I just want to encourage people. I think that I loved the verse in Psalms where it says, let the redeemed say they are redeemed. You know, that's the power of our stories, right? It's the Savior that redeems us and gives us that restoration and then prepares us to do something different. And we are the ones that have to step in and start to identify, understand who we are and whose we are, so that as we're going through this time in our life, we can actually open our hands and say yes to whatever God has for us. And I think that was something that was really important for me to learn in my walk. And as I've gone through this journey in my life, was really allowing the Lord to navigate and take control of what he was going to do, because he does have a plan for our life. And I think that I have to encourage the listeners to say, you know, to tell them, you know, open your hands, be willing to say yes, because his plan is much greater than we could have ever imagined. And so people can look at my life and know that I would be that ordinary or very one that may not even be worthy in a lot of people's eyes to move forward to where I'm at today. And I think he uses the ordinary to do extraordinary things for him. And so as long as we're willing, he will do that. And so that's what I've had to really commit my life to. And it's hard. There's times in our lives it's really hard to do because we keep those visions in our mind of what we think it should look like. But the moment that we really are able to die to ourselves and allow God to take control, our lives will look greater than we ever could have imagined. I never would have imagined that I would be that little girl that was sitting in that movie theater going, I'm on that big screen, right? There, that lady that everybody told that could not go to Hollywood at 39 and ever do anything because she was too old, she's there. And that's only because of God, you know? It's so cool. So don't ever give up. Don't listen to the world. Lean into God and know that he has the greatest plan for your life that you could have ever imagined. And if you think for 1 minute that after you give your life to Christ, that there's still smoke lingering around your head, then you've got to go back and figure out who the Father is in your life, because it just isn't supposed to be like that.
Praise the Lord. Preach it, woman. I love it. I just, oh man. And we do, we get so caught up in all this craziness and we identify with it. We adopt it as who we are. And that's not what God wants us to see. And in fact, you and your husband were called to move to Hollywood, I think in 2009.
Yeah.
What were your expectations in that moment?
Well, those expectations were big, let me tell you. Taking one step back in 2008, we lost everything. Like 2008 was a crazy time for people, right? So we lost everything. We went from, you know, building the dream house to having nothing, moving to Hollywood in 2009, going back to living in a two-bedroom apartment, and moving to one of the most expensive states in our United States, right, in our country to live in, right? And so, but my expectation was I knew God was calling me here. And for the longest time, I think in my vision, you know, I thought, hey, he's calling me to be this big, huge movie star. You know, I'm going to be the next Jennifer Aniston. I'm going to be the next, you know, and I'm like, you know, Meryl Streep or whoever it is that God, and I, that's, that was my vision, you know, and that's why he must have been calling me. And as I sat in this little broken down, it's one of the most beautiful places that I can even tell you. I sat in an acting class with John Kirby, this incredible acting coach here in Hollywood. He coaches like Jim Caviezel and Jeff Bridges and all of these like amazing stars, Chrissy Metz from This Is Us. And you sit in this room and I'm sitting there and I'm going, I'm going to be a movie star. And I'm watching these people that are performing and they are amazing. And I'm, you know, losing myself every day because I'm like, what am I doing here? This, I don't even know what to do here. And finally, God just spoke to my heart and he said, you know, you're here for my women. And in that moment, I looked around the room and what I saw immediately was all of these very talented people, but focused on women, that they were sitting there broken and lost and feeling unworthy, feeling like they were being judged subjectively, judged for their performances, for who they are, what their exterior looked like, for, you know, there were all these things that were going on. And so when God spoke to my heart, he said, I want you to bring women together and I want you to praise my name and I want you to then pray. So we started at 2 women and we went to 25, and now I get to do life with women all over the world, and then I meet them now on movie sets, at speaking events, you name it, and I get to do life and encourage them just as much as they do with me.
Oh my goodness. And your ministry is called The Women in My World, correct?
Yes.
Oh, tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, The Women in My World is, they are really the women that influence my world as much as they do and influence the world that's around me and others. And so I was so blessed to come together with a group of women for years in my home. We studied, you know, a lot of the things that you see in my book, which is one of the things that I believe so much about this particular book is what people read, this is my 11 years, if not longer, that I have been doing, and I incorporate these practical tools and principles into my walk daily. Like, this is this is me in this book. But these women came in at the same time in my life where we started to really sharpen one another. We started to grow together. We started to be reminded, like, what are distractions in our life? What is it that we have to get right? What is it that we have to do and identify with? How do we identify with ourselves, with God? How do we study the names of God? How do we call on Him in the different seasons of our life? What does purpose really mean? What does talents and giftings, like, we went through this process. And so the women in my world really, and now that it's expanded to so many women, what I love though is if you can bring it all back down to one specific thing, is each and every one of these women, first and foremost, honor God with their lives. That's, they give Him the glory for everything that they're doing. And from that point on, entertainment, motherhood, you know, wherever they're at, they're sharing the gospel. They're business women. They're leaders in ministry. I'm blown away that the women that God keeps bringing into my world to influence me, and then hopefully I influence them, and then I get to share them with the world. But the incredible piece of it is they all know why they're where they're at, and that's because of Jesus. Period.
Wow. Absolutely beautiful. I love it. Absolutely. Oh my gosh. It gives me chills. Of course, I've already read your book. And so that's another reason why it gives me chills. Well, in your book, you have a system of mapping that you write about. Looking back, what stands out now that you didn't see then?
Oh, yeah. Oof, your questions are good. I'm like, you know, with the mapping process, I think what I go through on a regular basis, because I don't map. I mean, mapping is an ongoing routine. It's an ongoing journey, right? So your map starts little and it grows and grows and grows. And so my map now could literally probably cover my wall in my living room. What I didn't see back then is how these dots of these relationships would ultimately connect me back to serving God, serving women with everything that I do in these relationships. So, for example, when the Lord gave me the mapping, I was going through a time here in Hollywood where I was feeling very confused and trying to figure out how I was going to get my foot in the door for an agent or a manager, or how I was going to start auditioning, or what that was going to look like. And so when I sat down with the Lord, He showed me the bullseye, and He took me to Deuteronomy, and He showed me where it says, stand by me and do not turn from the right but to the left, you know, stand by me. And so when I sat there and I was praying over that and praying, you know, God, how am I going to do this? I don't know how to get from this point A to point B, you know, right. And all of a sudden He started giving me names and showing me how He was going to connect the dots. And, you know, the great thing is that timing, right? I think what your question is what did I not see, but I see now? Timing is of the essence. If you look at my bullseye in my book, which is small because I didn't have a whole lot of room I could share everybody, but I could show you journals that you'd be blown away with. You see in this moment that it goes from, you know, a Chaz Corzine, or my mother-in-law to Chaz Corzine, to from Chaz Corzine to the Irwin brothers, who I did October Baby with. But the first thing I did with them was Slow Fade, which was the music video for Fireproof with the Kendrick brothers. And then you have 10 years later, because that music video was done in 2008 for Fireproof. And then 2018, I go to work for the Kendrick brothers. And you see Slow Fade that I did with the Irwins, and how that ministered to women and men in marriage, and taking a step back and making sure that we don't put ourselves in situations. You have October Baby, which was post-abortive, and speaking to women through being post-abortive and delivering a message of forgiveness and hope and restoration in that. And then, you know, fast forward to 2018, and here I am in the situation where I'm speaking to women about being a powerful, influencing voice and uplifting voice to your husband and a partner. So you see the connections all the way along the line. And so what you have to remember, though, is what I didn't see is how long it was going to take. I didn't see how long, or, you know, the length of time. I just knew I needed to be praying over these relationships because they were significant. You've been put on holy ground. They're divine. You pray over them and you believe that God has intention for them. And even if it's just you praying for them. And then the second part of that, though, is the beauty of seeing when it's all written out in front of you, to know that our God is this master planner. He's this map creator, right? And all of a sudden for me to be able to go, man, you've taken me and given me more than I can have ever imagined. And here I am in every place and every dot connected that it links back to women.
Oh my gosh. Well, I have to give you though a little thing, because I'm one of those women you touched. I will not go into great detail. We'll have to get back to that story another time. But my husband at one point said, I've fallen out of love. Mm-hmm. And I was walking and running 7 to 11 miles a day with that song, Slow Fade. Little did I know that it would bring me to today to meet someone who was involved. And, you know, it just, and by the way, we'll be celebrating 27 years this August.
That's incredible. Congratulations.
Thank you. But just another, you know, point into your mapping, right? We don't see all of it, but God does every little bit of detail. And it's oh so beautiful. And it's something I think, honestly, you can't appreciate your life until you do it.
Right. Absolutely. Well, you know, what's funny is, isn't it amazing? Like, we can think back on those things, or a lot of times we forget. But I think what I've found so mind-blowing is that when you write it down, right, and you start to see it, and you start to see the connections, and you start to pray over it and develop it, and all of a sudden it's in front of you, it's just this puzzle that is so beautiful. And as human beings, we forget so quickly, right? So we have to have this like map in front of us. But that's amazing. Thank you for sharing that with me, because that's something, see, those are things like, but that's the idea of the mapping, because you never know that that one connection now branches out to how many people. It's powerful.
And it's only God, right? It's only God. Only He can do that. I celebrate you in that, because I know it blessed me in a time that was absolutely crazy. And so for that, I'm very, very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, there was much work to be done prior to your dreams, obviously, coming true. You write, we must respect the preparation time if we intend to change the world. Speaking of time.
Yeah.
How do you respect that time when you're like, Lord, come on, can you get on my schedule?
Well, let me tell you, sister, it's hard. Preparation, I think, is one of the hardest things that we all go through, right? And that was something that was really cool for me to see with even the lilies, you know, and understanding. I really started to study lilies, and I'm still studying them. I'm writing a devotional now to go alongside of this, a 60-day hardcover devotional to go alongside of it. And I've been studying these lilies even more and getting more in depth of it. And just the idea of the preparation that goes into this bulb that gets planted, and they say that the actual bulb should be planted in the fall before the first frost, so that it can actually lay dormant all the way to spring until it actually comes into its bloom for optimal preparation, so that it will continue to have bloom after bloom after bloom. Isn't that so much of like our life, you know? And so preparation is a tough one, but it's so necessary. You know, I could go on for hours on this. I think that preparation for me, God constantly has to remind me, you know, hone in on your talents that I've given you. Prepare with me right now, whether it's, you know, time of worship maybe is longer at a certain point of time, or, you know, maybe it's a skill that I need to really figure out how I'm, you know, upgrading that level of education or skill or whatever it is that He's given me, or just even in the spiritual warfare. What are you preparing? Are you mentally, physically, and spiritually, you know, prepared to go to battle when you're called in? You know, are you sitting on the sidelines just kind of waiting it out? And so for me, I have to stay in the Word every day. I have to get up in the morning. I've got to set my sights on Him first and foremost. I got to keep my phone, you know, at a distance. I've got to start my day and put those practical tools into place. Otherwise, I get distracted and I'm not doing the preparation that I need to, just in even a daily, you know, posture to be ready to take on whatever it is that he has for me daily. I think sometimes if we can look at it instead of this huge picture and how many years of it, and we can look at it as more of like the day-to-day process also, I think we'll get much further. In the book, I talk about Joshua, and I tell this little story about after coming over, after being done with Overcomer. I don't know if you, and it was really this time when I was like, I should have been at the high of my life, right? And all of a sudden I'm like at the low of the low, and I can't figure out what's going on, and the spiritual warfare is just intense. And I heard a message about the walls of Jericho, and I was literally like, okay, God, you know what? I'm done with hearing the walls of Jericho. You know, it's just, if I have to hear about the walls coming down one more time, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm like, I just can't. And, the Lord really just spoke to my heart, and he kept it lingering just within me. And so one morning I got up 5:30-ish, I think somewhere in that range, and sat with him, and I have it in my journal, and I wrote down, what are my walls? Like, what is this? What am I battling? And he just started speaking to me, and he was like, do you really think that this is a battle? And he went into talking to me just really about it. And he said, this is actually, a battle for your preparation time. And now I understand that, because during the time that I had to write this book and put this together and where I was going, because of the mindset that I was in, I could have been very distracted and been very wasteful with my time and not been able to accomplish this. And what he did with me in that time was really significant, because he really did show me that if I don't prepare and I don't do what I'm called to do, my time will linger on. I'll look back and not know why I didn't do what God had called me to do. And he reminded me of Joshua, and not only did he have to go to the walls of Jericho, but he had 40 years, with all the others. He was wandering in the desert because of other people's disobedience, right? And then he gets called out, and then he has to go into the battle. He does Jericho because he's obedient. God's already shown him he's still got to go to battle. And after Jericho's done, he still has to go do more battle. And so that was something that was really interesting for me, because it really reminded me that we're on the battlefield, and where else would we want to be? So it's really important for us to be prepared if we want to change the world.
Such great wisdom there, Sherry. You know, one of many flaws that we have as humans is being people pleasers. Mm. How can we flip our focus to become God pleasers?
Yeah, I know I sound like a broken record, but I'm going to say like...
Say it, girl, say it.
You've got to know that Jesus says specifically, we're not to seek after man's approval. And the more that we do, the more we become to look like the world. We start to look like the world. We start to toil and spin. We do the comparison part of how we, do life. And that's really easy for us to do, especially in the social world giant that, social media giant that we live in, right? And so we've got to get back to the truth that's in the Bible. And it talks about that. It talks about not seeking man's approval. And we need to seek the one's favor and his wisdom, the one that died for us, the one that created us. Who better to know us, lift us up and approve us than the one that created us right from the beginning. And so that's my broken record talk. I know it's hard to do sometimes, but because we do seek man's approval, and everything in the world tells us to seek man's approval, and we've got to change that narrative. And I think if we go back to John 21, it's really interesting. John 21, Simon Peter is with Jesus after the resurrection. This is the third time I think he's made himself known to the disciples, right? And he's on the beach with them, and they're going through this conversation where they're all sitting around. Jesus has prepared the fish and the fire and everything, and they're sitting there. And Simon Peter, Jesus knows exactly what they're thinking, right? He knows what Simon Peter's thinking. And he says to Simon Peter in that, do you love me? And he goes through this question three times, right? And the three times that he asks the questions, it's about shepherding his people, right? And what he's doing. And here's Simon Peter with his eyes on the disciple that's leaning on the bosom of Jesus going, and what does he do instead? He gets mad. He gets angry. And he kind of goes like, well, of course I love you, but what about him? And he can't get his eyes off of him. And so, you know, that's something I just want to encourage people as they go through this process of, you know, keep your eyes on the one that created you and stop looking at others and comparing yourself, because the moment that you do, you'll find freedom, and you will also start to discover that God created you so uniquely and you have territory to take that's yours. And if you don't get out of your own way, like Simon Peter, you're going to keep your eyes on somebody else and you may get too distracted. And then you're lingering, trying to figure out where your territory is when you were never created to be in that territory in the first place. So stop looking to man and only look to the one that died for you on the cross, period.
Rich wisdom. Yes, I love it. Well, you already mentioned a little bit about consider the lilies and how you are now, you know, really diving into them as a plant and how they grow and how they're planted, et cetera. Where did, though, that book title really come from, and where it just kind of sat in your heart and you said, I got to name my book that?
Yeah. You know, it was funny because I sat down with my literary agent, who's a dear friend, and we actually had been talking. He asked me if I had a book that I had been writing, you know, and this was kind of around the Overcomer time. And I said, yeah, and I'd actually been writing another book. And I had written a book that I'd invested about 2 years into. And when we were sitting there having the conversation, then there was also a woman and a couple other people that were in this room. But this woman specifically was a woman that had been in the publishing world for a very, very long time. And she heard my story and she heard what I do. And she just really sat back and took it all in and listened to me. And she said, no, that's not your next book. Your next book is this book. And I was like, well, I don't know that I was even writing that in a book. I mean, that's just what I do every day. That, like, that's what I do. And that's how I share with women. And she was like, no, you don't understand. This is your next book. And so through conversation with her and through lots of time with the Lord, what really came through was this idea of women and being in this constant place of toiling and spinning. And I would use that phrase over and over again and talk about how women always were in this like moment of confusion, and I wanted them to go from confusion to clarity. I wanted them to find that we live in the greatest time in history, you know, for women right now. I mean, I mentioned that in the beginning chapter where most people don't realize that our three top billionaires are, you know, females. And like, we don't think about these things because they're not put out there in a way that we can actually see that truth all the time. And finally, you know, we just started talking about it and it resonated. Consider the lilies, like consider this, like King Solomon was the greatest of great. He was given everything. And here's God saying, look at the lilies. They don't toil or spin. They get rooted. And isn't that what we're supposed to do? And so that's really how it came about. It wasn't like an overnight, you know, thing. It was just through conversation and cultivating the conversation. But the beauty in that is as we did that and then I started to study the lilies, I went, oh my gosh. I mean, lilies develop in colonies. And, you know, because I would tell her about how, you know, women would come together and all of a sudden they were in these deep, deep, you know, rich colonies. And she was like, oh my gosh, you don't, you know, and so that was like this breeding ground for her and I to be just bouncing off of one another and talking about it. And she really helped me cultivate that. And it's just, it couldn't have been more beautifully planned. And God was like, I don't want anybody trailing and spinning. I want you to know you're more important than even King Solomon, one of the greatest of greats, because I see you, I've created you with a depth, with more purpose than you can ever imagine. And with the blossoming color and beauty and fragrance and perfection that you could have ever seen. And I just see that parallel mirror resemblance. And I'm like blown away.
Oh my gosh, that is so amazing. I mean, God just orchestrated every bit of that. If you were to map that out, which I'm sure you already have, just to see all of that connection, you know, right. in those conversations over and over again. And then what led you to that woman with that she was there at that particular time to listen in, to hear the story. That wasn't by chance.
No. It wasn't by chance. And, you know, it's funny because one of the things that I just came upon recently again in scripture, which I thought, and this is how God, you know, the living word, and he constantly continues to speak to us. You know, it even mentions the design of the lily was so prominent in culture at the time of even King Solomon that it was actually what was on top of the pillars, the bronze pillars that were to the entrance of his palace. And they were also, when they were done with all of the construction of it, they were actually etched lilies blossoms into that front of the palace. And, but I love one thing, it was written and I have it, it was, and I just stumbled upon this as I've been writing the devotional, but it says in the Ecclesiastes 2:18, it says, I hate all things that I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them for the one who comes after me. And this was written by King Solomon. And I thought about that. And here he was the one that was actually referenced by Luke, you know, and talking about the lilies are more significant than King Solomon. And here's King Solomon even with lilies all around him in his palace. And then even using that term about toiling and, you know, really toiling and spending so much time on the earthly things. And, you know, and I know King Solomon did so much for the heavenly things too, but even in that message that he left, is he really was like, did I leave the things that I should be leaving behind? And that's that message of the gospel. Is it the message of the Lord? Is it, what was he doing in that time? Or was he so concerned about all of the other things, the riches, the fame? What was he concerned about that he would pass on to somebody else, good or bad? But it just kind of hit me and I was like, wow, that's really cool. Like he even recognized that at that time. And he's the one that was referenced in Luke, you know, 12:27.
Wow, that is amazing. I just, okay, I cannot wait to get my hands down the devotional. When is it going to be done? No.
I know.
Come on, can you write faster, please?
I know. Well, you know what's really fun about this devotional, too, is that it's going to be so much fun. It's 60 days, and on, I think it's every sixth day, I take you in some way or another to get you outside. I want you to get, like, I have women like, you know, let's dig, let's get into that rich soil, let's get outside, let's, and so I'm taking you out and getting you back into creation again and really starting to identify with all of the beauty around you that God has created, and just to see the visual of everything he created around you, and then to understand who you are, because he could have created so many other things in his image, right? But he says, no. I'm creating them, man and woman, in my image. And so we really, as we go into creation, we are that last, I feel like, piece of it that's so beautiful. And so I can't wait for women to get their hands on this and to really read and digest it and then get outside and even just like be a part of it.
Oh, okay, so y'all, you're going to have to pick up your copy quickly of this so you can be ready for the devotional. Consider the lilies. Get rooted in your destiny by discovering God's plan. And I love this, Sherry, how you write it. It is truly a practical tool because you lead at the end about journaling and consider this you have in every part of it. And so people can really dive into it. I did a little bit because I was reading it obviously because I wanted to get to know you, but then I was like, wait, I got to come back to that one. And so I have scribbled off to the side of my own stuff separate from me getting to know you, going, wait, okay, this is awesome. I want to incorporate this. For the woman who wants to plant herself, she's like, sign me up. I want to be that lily. She wants to get rooted in her destiny by discovering God's plan for her life. What would you tell her?
Yeah, well, you know, I think getting rooted is, that's where the first and foremost, and that is something with this book, the practical tools in it, right? But I think first and foremost is, you know, it's kind of going through your checklist, and it's the making sure that you know who you are, your identity in Christ first, right? Checking that off. And then whose you are. You need to identify with the Father God. You know, I don't think it's by any mistake that he has all these beautiful names, you know, in the Bible and what they mean and how significant they are for certain times and the way that he's, you know, El Shaddai or Abba. Like we have to know who our God the Father is. We have to experience him and the promises that he has and really get to know him. And then as they start to do that, it's really understanding then from there how they were created, you know, their personality traits, you know, understanding who they are and also the strengths and weaknesses. One of the hardest times the women and I had was going, okay, we have to list off our weaknesses. But the reality is the world says, hey, your strengths are the greatest, but biblically it says when you are the weakest, he is the strongest. Now, not that your strengths don't matter, but we need to be able to develop also our weaknesses and we need to be able to write them out and identify them. And then really understanding and finding the freedom in your purpose is Christ. He is your purpose. You cannot lose your purpose. You lose a job, you lose a title, you lose, you know, whatever it is. You know, I always tell people this, my kid going off to college, a marriage or a friendship, or I didn't get an acting gig or whatever it is, or I didn't pass a test or whatever it might look like. You don't lose your purpose. God's your purpose. Jesus Christ is your purpose. Calling, we're going out wherever he places us for these women to get planted. When they know who they are and whose they are, they can step in, be reminded they're stepping onto holy ground, and then they can start sharing the message and doing what we're called to do is to glorify Jesus, to glorify the kingdom of God. And using in that process all of these practical tools to hone in the talents they've been given, to study their spiritual giftings, to look at the things they need to identify in their lives, that they need to put in that toolbox, creating their battle plans. There's so much in here that I hope what they do is they have it on, they get into their Bible, they get into this book, they get into a journal, and they start to really develop the incredible plan that God has laid out for them, and that they get to watch it grow over the years, like you and I have talked about, you know, over the years to see what God is going to do and get excited about it.
Oh, yes, let's do this. I mean, come on. Well, we're going to have you back because we just need about another 4 or 5 hours to continue to digest all of this. I love it. Well, one thing we can't leave without mentioning is Grandma Joyce. And you write about her, you share about her in your book. What did she teach you about living a life by God's design?
Oh, such a great question. You know, my grandmother was such a beautiful woman, and she literally, like, I would walk into her home and she had her King James Bible, you know, laying there, highlighted and notes on it, and it was right there for everybody to see. So that was something that always stood out to me in my mind. And she loved unconditionally. She loved unconditionally. And that was something that was so powerful to me also. And one of the things that I thought was so unique as I was writing the book was I went back and I was reading her eulogy, you know, and the people that had written about her. And today, you know, we're all kind of like, well, when we die, how many titles will we have behind our name and how much success will we have and what will people remember us for, right? And her eulogy just spoke to my heart because people fell in love with my grandmother because of the goodness and the love that she shared with them through cooking for them, inviting them into her home and reminding them that they were more precious to her than anything else. It makes me cry. And that's something I learned from her. And I hope that everybody can take a step back and look at the reason that there is so much beauty and simplicity and just being reminded that God is a God of relationship. And as he pours into us, we are to pour into others. And Grandma Joyce taught me how to pour into others and to make a fantastic angel food cake.
Amen to that for the hips. Thank you, Grandma Joyce. I love it. Well, I know people are going to want to connect with you, Sherry. Where can they find you?
Yeah, absolutely. They can. I'm more of an Instagram person, so at Sherry Rigby, that's my Instagram. I am that person that has it hooked to my Facebook and Twitter and all those things, so I can hit one button at one time. they can find me at sherryrigby.com. That's my website. And then also for the book, Amazon or ConsiderTheLiliesBook.com. iDisciple did an incredible job on the website for this book and for me, and it just shares all the good nuggets on there. And but yeah, that's how they can find me and follow me and stay connected for sure. And at The Women in My World on IG. We're building that up and we're really starting to cultivate that so more women around the world can have a greater impact and also just the influence. You know, we've kept it kind of private for a long time. Now we're going to try to allow it to grow and see what God's going to do. So,
well, we'll be sure to have all that information in the show notes so women around the world can be invited into your world. Well, before we let you go, I have one final question. The series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
Oh, my story has gifted me, well, first my salvation, my story. But really what it's gifted me is knowing that I'm worthy, that my story is worthy to be shared, and that it is, even though it looks probably ugly and messy on the outside to many, it is beautiful. It is pieced well together, and it's given me a lot of strength to stand in places that I don't know that I would have ever been able to stand without that backstory.
Oh, Sherry, you are a beautiful, fragrant lily. Thank you so much for sharing part of your life with us today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. It's been awesome.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.